heartbreak, trying to get myself ashore for so long, for so long.
4:34 downtown on a Monday afternoon. Time for us to see what's happening in the Boston sports scene. To do that, we get on board the telephone line and welcome in friend of the program, UMaine grad, constantly voted the most popular sports writer in Boston, and of course, a downtown Hall of Famer, Chad Finn, with us. Hello there, Chad.
You're supposed to lead with downtown Hall of Famer. I tell you that over and over again. It's always the last thing you tack on. I don't know.
I bury the lead again. Damn it.
Yeah, it is. You know that you mentioned the Fair Sports Writers. I think they canceled that poll this year. I haven't seen it, but I miss it because they used to do favorite sports writer and least favorite sports writer, and Shaughnessy won both a couple of years, which is pretty cool. I think that's what you strive for, right?
Absolutely. That means you're doing the job well. If half the people love you and half hate you, you've got to be playing it perfectly there. Let's see. Playing it perfectly, that's a rough segue into the way the Patriots are going. Here, as you wrote about in this week's Unconventional Review, yes, you're supposed to lose, Patriots, but yikes, it shouldn't hurt this much.
Yeah, those reviews are getting pretty conventional. It's basically, they stink, they need to lose, but does it have to be this ugly every week? I've been meaning to go back and look at the 2000 Pats team because, you know, they start off so poorly. Belichick had to really rework the back of the roster that year. There were a lot of bad contracts, a lot of guys on that team that, because of bad drafts, that didn't really belong in the league. And it took a makeover. But they got to 5-11 at the end of the year, and I want to go back and look and see if their losses were kind of dignified. You know, they got beat because not because of their own mistakes, but because of talent and just the other team was better. And that's a lot easier to take than what you're seeing with the Patriots right now, which is, yeah, the other teams are better. The Patriots have a real deficit of talent right now, but they're just making so many mistakes that you can't call them uncharacteristic anymore. It's part of who they are, and it still happens week to week, and it's still very jarring to see because for 20 years they didn't do these things, and now they do.
Well, and yesterday, here we are on the big drive, a chance to have a Tom Brady moment here, and then Juju Smith-Schuster, we know how that all worked out. Yet another wonderful offseason pickup of the Patriots there.
Yeah, hit them right in the hands, which you don't want to do with those pass receivers.
No.
That's where they're most dangerous. Mac's been terrible this year by pretty much any measure, but Mark Daniels and Mass Live had a good piece this morning about how many times he's been let down by the receivers just dropping good throws. And you think about the Kayshon Boutte won against the Eagles. Bourne had a bad drop that game. Parker's had a couple of them. Jalen Reagor's had a couple of them. And then Juju yesterday. It's just there have been so many times where he has actually made the right play and a really good throw, and the receivers have just completely botched their job. And yesterday, I guess, was, you never know how it's going to go wrong, but you can kind of assume now that it will. The Buffalo one was the outlier. Much more often than not, you have to, when they're trying to drive to win a game, you have to just sort of plan on something terrible happening that stops their quest.
Well, last year, you know, we had Matt Patricia to blame it on, but now there's an actual sort of offensive coordinator there. So do we know yet what we have in Mac Jones? Is it year one Mac Jones? Is it more of what we saw last season?
Yeah, I'm done. I mean, and I liked him, too. I thought he was going to turn it around this year. I still believe the vast majority of what went wrong last year was Matt Patricia's fault and Belichick's fault for putting him in that position. But they broke Mac, and I don't think it's reparable now. He the things he's supposed to be good at, he's good at occasionally throwing an accurate pass, like I mentioned, or making a good read, but for the most part, he's not as accurate as he was supposed to be. He doesn't process things as quick as they said he did coming out of Alabama. And we know what the real flaws are, the things he was going to have to overcome, which exist. He's not mobile. He makes bad decisions throwing on the run. And his arm is weak for an NFL starting quarterback. And all those things add up to a guy who he might be a starting quarterback in the league. Maybe he'll be even a little better than average in the right situation. I think if he had been a San Francisco 49er from the start of his career with the weapons they had there, people would probably think a little bit differently about him than we do here. But he's broken, and he needs a change of scenery, and the Patriots need to get more high-end talent in this roster, and quarterback is one of those positions where they need it.
Yeah, and it's an unfair comparison to make, but Brady, and he had some talent around him, but not all the time, but Brady would elevate those around him, and Jones seems to be only as good as his supporting cast.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the things that Brady covered up maybe construction issues with the roster, where you could put him with good receivers, not great receivers, but good receivers, and he would get the most out of them. You're going back to David Givens. You know, Deion Branch was a terrific player early in his career, but wasn't a superstar. David Patton, guys like that later on. Jabbar Gaffney came in and helped out a little bit. And you know, some guys emerged and became stars in their own right. You had Moss for a while and Gronkowski for a while, two of the greatest weapons in NFL history. But Brady elevated guys around him to the point that I think Belichick maybe got convinced that he could bring in anybody and they would succeed here. And the offense has been neglected, especially after Brady left. Biggest issue of this team probably is the lack of skilled players on offense, and it's just something either Belichick's made horrible fundamental decisions on in the draft and free agency, or he just hasn't done what was best for the roster.
Chad Finn with us here on Downtown. Now, you wrote about it in your piece today. What are they doing with Ramondre Stevenson? What is going on with him?
Yeah, I don't get it. He looked great yesterday. Ended up with, what, 4 catches for 42 yards, 9 rushes for 87. And how long was the run? 68? Was it something like that? 64.
64, yeah.
The touchdown run. And 13 touches is absurd. He's far and away your most skilled offensive player. We thought he was going to be an all-pro type of player coming into this season after the year he had last year, especially the second half. Broke a ton of tackles last year, elusive, everything you'd want in a running back, ran with power. And I think they were hiding an injury with him early. You look back at training camp, and there were a lot of days where he didn't practice at all. I suspect there's something we don't know about his health in the first part of the season, but he's looked good lately. And it's crazy when you're so lacking in talent that somebody who's clearly a very, very talented offensive player in a couple aspects of the game gets the ball only 13 times in a close game, too. It's not like they were behind by 15 or 20 and got away from the run. They didn't give him the ball enough.
Well, after the summer we endured with the Red Sox and now the way this fall is going, thank goodness for the Boston winter teams, both off to great starts. And what I like about the Celtics so far is the fact that all of a sudden they're doing what they didn't do in the past, and that is beating the heck out of mediocre teams.
Yeah, a couple of those wins have been really good, even though they're not a great against great teams, because you remember those are the games they would mess around in last year, maybe blow a lead late, something like that, and they're taking care of business right now. The Nets were hot the other night from three-point range. They were playing carefree, back-to-back and a couple of guys out of the lineup, and they just launched three and seemed to be having a good time doing it. And the Celtics withstood that, and they didn't start playing one-on-one ball, particularly Tatum, who's just been so good this year, played unselfishly. The more you watch Drew Holiday, the more you love him. He just makes the right decision almost every time, and he's very aggressive, and it's just been an ideal fit here. And the pieces fit on this roster better than they have it in any point in a long time, maybe going back 15 years. So it's really fun to watch, and you just cross your fingers and hope everybody stays healthy, because we know what a great basketball team looks like around here, and this is one.
And Jimmy Montgomery off to another great start with the Bruins, lost to the Red Wings over the weekend, but they've got a phenomenal record in Monty's tenure of winning. after a loss, they rarely take more than one in a row.
Yeah, what did they win? 80 out of 100 regular season games? That was the other. I mean, that's just unheard of. You don't do that like in, playing NHL 98 or whatever. It was crazy. And, obviously there's going to be not a lot of credence is going to be given by fans to what they accomplished during the regular season because of the way things ended last year. But on the other hand, you have to be impressed by a team that lost Patrice Bergeron, lost David Krejci, lost Tyler Bertuzzi, saw some guys leaving free agency, certainly lost depth and quality depth. And to come out and start the season the way they have and with some young players from an allegedly thin minor league system, farm system, really contributing. And, Patra looked terrific and looks like they're going to get some help from the youth on this team that maybe wasn't expected, which is also a credit to Jimmy. You know, they've been really good at working in young players.
Craig Breslow, the man now in Boston, we're getting ready for free agency to get going here. What do you think his first move will be?
Well, they dropped Justin Garza from the 40-man
run. Oh, well, there you go. Okay.
Yeah, that was the one everybody's waiting on. I was I still think his Justin Garza was on the team. There's about five guys or five pitchers they have that you're going to need a reminder that they were on the roster. But I don't know because he's playing it pretty close to the vest. He's new, so we don't really know what he likes. We know his strengths and personality. He's an analytics guy, but he played a long time in the major leagues. Was on the 13 Red Sox team and did a great job with the Cubs pitching, developing guys like Justin Steele, and the Red Sox certainly need that from within their farm system. But in terms of a big move or a free agent signing, he's given no indication at all about what direction he might be thinking. Other than that, he said he acknowledged they're going to have to trade from the farm system to bolster the major league roster, which is something Red Sox fans are probably pretty happy to hear after the way Heim Bloom went about building things.
Do you think they will make any kind of a run at Ohtani, even though he doesn't really fit in well with this roster? Would they do it for the message that it sends to the fan base that, hey, we're back and we're serious about investing in this team?
Yeah, I don't. I think they will be in it at a cursory level. We hear the Red Sox are involved. We've actually been kind of hearing that already, that they'll be involved. But I still feel like the price is going to be astronomical, even with his elbow injury. He's such a dynamic hitter that he's going to get a ton of money to be a DH now, and then the team is going to bank on him coming back pitching in a year. But I don't think they'll be there, but they're going to try to enhance the starting rotation of this team in a lot of different ways, whether it's going after Yamamoto, the highly regarded Japanese pitcher, somebody like Aaron Nola, or a couple of the other guys on the free agent market. Again, Breslow indicated that they might make a trade there, so maybe they go out and make a deal for a starting pitcher.
There we go. Chad Fenn of the Boston Globe with us here on Downtown. Hey, thanks, Chad. As always, have a good rest of your week, and we'll check in with you again soon.
Thanks, Rich. I hope they get that Evaldi guy from Texas. He's pretty good in big games.
Yeah, they can't land big guys like that. That was the old days.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah,
Justin Garza, re-signed. Here we go.
See you, Rich.
Thanks, Chad. Chad Fenn of the Globe with us here on Downtown on a Monday afternoon.